Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and joining me today for what I know will be a most heartfelt look at how two very unassuming, ordinary women were recruited into the working ranks of the divine energy force. Elaine Grohman and I are both healers and educators and channelers of universal energy. By sharing the stories of our clients and the messages given to us by our guides in spirit, we truly hope to help others to understand their own energetic thoughts and how to connect to their own innate soul intelligence for a more truthful and realistic look at who they are, what life is all about, and how they can expand the nature of their heart to receive and give love as we were all born to do. In today's episode, Elaine is the author of The Angels and Me. She is also a certified healing touch practitioner, an associate polarity practitioner, and also an angel therapy practitioner, which we will discuss and make clear as we go along in the show. We will both try to give examples to explain and validate the importance of energy medicine, intuition, and the true meaning of healing as a multidimensional journey of body, mind, and spirit. Welcome, Elaine, and thank you for being present on Healing From Within.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Elaine, in reading your book, The Angels and Me, it became immediately clear to me that some of the events of our childhood were very similar and were, as difficult as they were and challenging as they were, necessary and preparation for the work we were to do later in life. Can you tell us about how events during your childhood guided you to ask for perhaps more help from spirit and to develop your sensitive nature, and how these events were necessary for the work you do now?
Absolutely. I was originally number 7 of 9 children, and of the children in the family, one of our brothers was afflicted with muscular dystrophy. And
His name Brian?
His name was Brian, yes. And Brian died when he was 15, but Brian was extremely gifted intellectually. He was a very creative individual, but his body had failed him. And as children, we were always taught to be involved in his care. So I think that that was one of the things that actually helped me to learn to be more sensitive to the needs of others. But on top of that, our mother was an extraordinary woman who really helped us to learn how to, first of all, take care of one another and respect one another, and also how to work cohesively as a family. And they both died when I was 12 years old and 13 years old, respectfully. Our brother dying first when I was 12, he was 15, and my mother died when she was 47 when I was 13 years old.
I know, and as I read that, I could feel the difficulty that you sensed and felt at that time, and I was crying because it is so hard for me to conceive of losing so much so young. And I know you dealt with it very well. And why was it that you were able to deal with it?
Well, you know, I think actually I have to give credit to my mother because she really helped us to learn how to, number one, be together as a family and to support one another. And that, I have to say, is the greatest gift that I had in my life, is the support and the love that I have with my family, and we're still very close. But also, I recognized, and I think through her influence, I always would pray when I was worried, or I'd go out in nature when I was worried. And she encouraged that. And I, unknowingly, what she was doing, I believe, was showing me how to speak to the divine.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You had training to do that. But I think as a sensitive child, you already knew you were surrounded by certain energetic forces or unseen energy. Is that so?
I would say that's true. And I used to think every now and then, I remember riding my bicycle, and I think this thought would come to me, like, you're supposed to do something important. And I'm like, what? Who's talking to me? You know, and it kind of was like, from my little Irish Catholic background, I thought, oh, I can't even have those kinds of thoughts. That's Sounds so self-important. And
well, you know, I always followed those clues and those thoughts and in my head, but I thought it was just because I was a hard worker and a bright student, and I just wanted to do things to make everyone happy. But that guidance was there with us as children, and it wasn't until later in my life that I really started to understand and to use it in a different way. But it was always there for us, and it's there for everyone. And, you know, I lost someone very young also. I had a 19-year-old cousin, and he died from leukemia. And I remember at the time, he looked very much like me. Even though we were only cousins, I felt very close to him. And I was sad, but on another level, I knew he was all right. And it wasn't my religious training that allowed me to know that. It was the fact that some of us grow up and still stay connected to that divine energy and at all times feel safe and never feel alone. So I think you and I both had that quality in our life at that time and now, and we still have it.
Yes, and I was actually so grateful and praying as a child that my brother would be free of his crippled body.
And he is. And so he is.
Absolutely.
And, Elaine, there are moments, often moments, when those in spirit capture our attention. As we just said, when you were riding your bike and when I was receiving information and I followed it because I thought it was my own smart attitude and good-naturedness talking, but actually they capture our attention in an effort to remind us of our life goals and purpose. And one of the stories you told in the book very much reminded me of that. Can you tell us the story of your Aunt Gloria and her passing and how that affected you and how she was related to your mother?
Yes, my Aunt Gloria was my mother's sister. And she had been very important to us throughout our lives. And when my mother was living as children, we were always doing things together as families. And my aunt was a diabetic, and she was, at this point in time, she was in the end stages of diabetes. She had not been a very compliant patient, so she had a long, drawn-out illness. And she was eventually signed on to hospice care at a local hospital here in Michigan. And they thought that she would last about 2 weeks, but she actually lasted 6 weeks. And in that time, my siblings and I would go to try to help supplement the care that her family was giving, as well as the hospice care providers were giving. And it's very arduous and difficult emotionally and physically to be taking care of someone that you love that is clearly dying. So to be able to be there, to be supportive to my cousins was very important to me. So on this one particular day, I was there, and my cousin was absolutely exhausted. And I just said to her, you know what, honey, you need to get out of here. I don't care if you sit on the front porch for an hour. You need to get out of this room. And she finally agreed, and I told her, I promised her that I would not leave her mother's side until she walked back in the room. So she left, and my aunt at this point was hovering between semi-comatose and comatose and non-responsive for hours at a time. And I just held her hand and thanked her and talked to her about, you know, our appreciation for all that she had done for us in our life. And basically said to her, you know, if you're ready to go, honey, it's okay. And literally the best way I could describe it, it was like a light switch got flipped on. And she went from completely non-responsive to opening her eyes very bright and looked at me and said, I see my sister. Oh. And I said, then you go to her, darling, because she's going to take good care of you.
Yeah, her sister was your mother.
Her sister was my mother, who at that time had died 27 years before that when I was 13 years old.
And I had the same experience with my Uncle Hoy, who was my mother's brother. Mm. And he also was in the end stage of diabetes. And I came in, he had been in a coma. And I came in and I sat with him and I was giving him Reiki. The cousins, my family were all around. And he opened his eyes and he saw me and he said, oh, Cheryl's here. I know where I'm going next.
Oh,
because
Cheryl.
He knew I did hospice work, and we had talked many, many hours about my mother's passing. He was very close to my mother and very sad about her leaving. So he passed the same way. After he woke up from this coma and he said goodbye to everyone, they put him in hospice care that night, and he died that evening. It was a blessing. It was a blessing. So have a similar story there. But besides that, I have an Aunt Gladys. You had an Aunt Gloria. And when I was reading about your aunt, I remembered a story, and I want to share it. I've never really shared this with anyone, but it's important in showing people how spirit works with us. I was at a bar mitzvah. My Aunt Gladys walked over to me. It was her grandson's bar mitzvah. And as she walked towards me, a thought went through my head. She doesn't have long to live. Mm-hmm. Now, this is about 15 years ago. I was not doing the work that I am doing now. I was not really aware where that thought came from. And I was angry at myself. I said, where would a thought like that come from? But as a result of that thought, I made it my business to call her more and see her more. And she actually passed 3 years later, before my mother, because my mother was 10 years older than her. So what we were talking about at the beginning of the show was how spirit works with us and gives us thoughts. And these thoughts are to help us understand who we are, where we come from, not in a negative, but in a very positive way. So when we do have to deal with a situation that's difficult and challenging, we know it's okay, because it's the plan for that person. There is a time to come and a time to go. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, I've had similar experiences where I would recognize that someone was not well,
mm-hmm.
even before they knew that they weren't well. And it's just, you're right, it's spirit prompting us to
help that person.
To help them.
Yeah, and to love them more with the time that we have. Absolutely. I personally get very, very positive messages for my clients in order to help them live a life and enjoy everything they're doing and correct some of their thinking that's holding them back from the most positive experience. So I very rarely get anything negative. So I'm going to think that that remark that I had from Spirit was to help me help my family. And also, I loved my aunt very much. So when she was gone, I knew she was all right.
Absolutely. You know, because we have to be realistic that we are all going to die at some point.
I know you say that in the book also. You absolutely say that, and I agree with you. There's nothing to be afraid of. It's just a transference of our energy and soul to another dimension.
That's right.
And that's why you and I both do hospice work, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But, Elaine, can you tell us how you became interested in studying polarity healing and also the healing touch system, which I believe is similar to the Reiki that I do? And maybe you can describe those two systems of energy healing.
Well, I'd be happy to. In fact, there's much more that I have studied beyond that. I originally, when I had the experience with my aunt, I actually, in the moment after she recognized that her sister was there, I felt her spirit leave her body. And it was such a palpable experience to me. I inquired with everyone that I knew that was in medicine if they had ever experienced anything like that. And finally, I found someone that helped me to understand that I felt her spirit leave her body. Well, I wanted to understand that. And somehow, all along in my young life, I recognized that somehow I was going to be involved in medicine, even though I was not a nurse or a physician. So I recognized that if I was going to study any kind of energetic modality, I wanted to have some knowledge of a way of working with energy that had a very scientific point of view and was very much concerned with physiology. So as it turned out, I was introduced to polarity therapy, which happened to have been designed by a physician. So it was very physiologically based. And it was a 2.5-year program, And in that, you learned how to palpate the organ systems in the energetic field, in the aura. And I was in, at that time, I was involved in hospice initially as a volunteer, and then I became a hospice employee. So it was the best possible beginning for me to understand energy medicine, and I was in the worst case scenarios every day in terms of someone's health. So it helped me a great deal, Cheryl, because what it forced me to understand physiology.
And I was told, this is very funny, I was told by my father in spirit through a medium before I was functioning that way that I had to study reflexology. He wanted me to do that to also learn more about the reflex points and the physiology of the body. So you see, we were guided that way also. And I agree with you. It has been very important to me. My father was a foot doctor, a podiatrist, and to keep this knowledge on a scientific level and to bring it to the public as more fact than it is mystical thought like many people think.
Correct. And I somehow knew, as I said, that I was going to be involved with people in medicine, and I have indeed for the last 10 years worked with two local universities, medical schools, helping their students understand energy medicine. So it was a little nudge in the right direction. So I went through the 2.5 years of polarity therapy and became an associate polarity practitioner, and literally I was introduced to healing touch because I needed some healing myself. I had actually ruptured L5-S1, and I was in a great deal of pain. And I had gone to see several physicians, and they wanted to do surgery. And I said, no.
Can you tell our listeners what that is? You used a technical term.
L5 and S1 is the lumbar and the sacrum.
Lower back.
In my lower back. I ruptured a disc in my lower back. And it was excruciatingly painful. And, you know, they wanted me to do physical therapy, which I did, but I found that the only thing that actually helped me was energy medicine.
Yes.
So I was introduced to, there's a local healing touch center, and when I had the experience there, it was such an impactful experience, I wanted to understand that modality. So I went through another 2.5 years of education. So to get a certification as a certified healing touch practitioner. And again, that has a governing body that has a medical governing body. It is under the auspices of the American Holistic Nurses Association. So yet I was prompted one more time to have an education that had a bona fide curriculum that I would have to use continuous education to keep my certifications up to date, and so that kind of forced me to stay very current with things.
And that's very important, and I always say to my students, I also teach Reiki, that wherever they're called, wherever they're guided, wherever the opportunity arises, we must go forward and keep learning, because that's why we're here. That's what our soul has chosen to do, to come to a physical environment where we can expand and learn. Now, you just told us some of the benefits. You didn't have to have surgery as a result of the alternative healing modalities you were working with for yourself.
Yeah.
Are there other benefits that the energy medicine can help people with?
Absolutely. If I could give you a list of several things. First and foremost, it helps you to relax. And relaxation is a very important response physiologically. And when the body can relax, then you have more blood flow, et cetera, and your body can get the blood needed to the proper area to help it heal. But it does help with wound healing. It helps with people that have cancers. It helps you get rid of a migraine headache in 10 minutes if you know what you're doing. And there's so many aspects. But honestly, I have been at births and I have been at deaths. And I've done healing work in every one of those scenarios, and you can actually have a healing as someone is dying. It does not mean necessarily that they're having a cure, but they're having a release of something, whether it's their physical pain, whether it's their anxiety and their fear of death, or whether it's a way of helping just to be a more peaceful transition. So healing is very multifaceted.
Absolutely. Many people think healing is just ridding the body of symptoms, and it's really not about that. Healing is about becoming a whole human and soul being.
Yes.
Going into the being of our energy system and combining it with our physical life for an appreciation of a physical life and knowing who we are both here and beyond here. So that's really what healing is about.
Right.
Elaine, in a recent show, I had a guest who's very much like us. Her name is Sarah Wiseman, and she's author of Writing the Divine. And she's had many similar experiences and has been very active in this work over the last, I would say, 10 or 12 years. And she and I discussed that we received our information for our clients when we do readings, aside from the energy. It's another part of healing, receiving messages that can help people deal with whatever it is that they're learning about. And she and I discussed how we receive information from various guides, spiritual beings, religious figures, ancestors, relatives, and angels. And often we felt that many of these entities were working together. But because the information often comes in so rapidly, it is challenging for most of us doing this work to completely know the source or messenger. You refer to your readings as angel readings. Can you tell us more about the angelic guides you work with and if you also receive information from other souls or higher vibrational beings?
Yes. Actually, the reason I call it angel readings was actually I studied with Doreen Virtue. Many people know who Doreen Virtue is. She's very well known all over the world as an angel reader. And I think that my original introduction to that was just because of my religious background. Although I'm not a practicing Catholic, I was born and raised Catholic. You know, so I saw angels on the walls of the church all the time, and I was taught to pray to them as a child. And it seemed natural to me that if you're going to pray to someone, wouldn't they respond back? And they always did. So, but to answer your question, Cheryl, yes, I feel that I know, as a matter of fact, that I have many more than just angelic beings that respond and give me information. There's many medicine people, Native American medicine women and men who have come and shared information with me, the loved ones of the individuals who are coming to talk to me. And the point of it all is all about love. And in truth, they don't care what you call them.
Thank you. Yes, sometimes we don't know them specifically, and that's all right.
That's right.
Because they're there to help us deliver a message so that another person can find some peace and well-being while they're here.
That's right. That's right. And actually, one time I was in England, and I was being given, receiving a reading to me from another individual. And I had been very interested in learning about who this one being was that was working with me recently at that time. And the woman finally just said, "You can't even pronounce that name." Because the name was actually a geometric symbol.
Oh, we're going to get into that in a second about sacred geometry. Mm-hmm. But before we do, I know one of the ways spirit often begins to work with us is through dreams. Can you tell us how a lucid dream allows those in spirit the ideal set of circumstances so they can reach some people or individuals who might be closed down to their own higher sense of self?
Well, the interesting thing about a lucid dream rather than a precognitive dream is that a lucid dream appears to be very real to us. You know, things are very tangible as if you're really there. But you're not just an observer, you're a participant.
Yes.
You may have the tactile feeling of touching someone or moving through time and space, or if you're in water, you feel like you're in water. It's very, very graphically real. And what we are beginning to understand, really, is a lucid dream is an out-of-body experience.
Absolutely. Or a visitation from someone in spirit who wants to reach us. Now, I have a story I'd like to tell here that will fit right in. Years ago, when I had first begun hospice work, I had a dream, and at the time I wasn't sure what it meant. I was moving very quickly along a stone corridor. I was almost flying, but there was no airplane. So I landed in a garden, and it was so bright and peaceful and colorful, and standing right to my right was a man in a white robe, and it appeared to me to be Jesus from pictures I have seen. Now, I'm Jewish, and I always cried when I was a child when I saw the injustice done to him and tried to understand how people could take such a man who was such a teacher and trying to help everybody to find peace and love, how they could do what they did to him. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, to the left side of him in this dream was a woman dressed in blue, and I sensed her to be his mother. I was really surprised, and I was very pleased, but I immediately found myself back in my own bed, and it was like my head jerked back, and I just didn't realize at the time that that was an out-of-body experience. But the next day, I went to a development group with one of my psychic development Reiki teachers, mm-hmm. and there was a student there who hadn't been there in over a year. And she was there that night, and she told me she was doing hospice work. And the reason she knew what she was doing the right work was because 3 years earlier, she had had a dream. And then she proceeded to tell me about it. And she said to me that she was moving fast along a corridor and arrived in a garden, and she saw Jesus, and Jesus said to her, "I am so happy you are helping those in hospice to cross over without fear and with dignity."
Oh.
And I barely could breathe because we both had the same dream. I had not heard him speak, and had she not shared that message, I would have continued to wonder what my dream really meant, because I saw him and she heard him. And I believe the message was for all of us who do this energy healing and hospice work, to help those who are still frightened and don't understand who they are and where they come from and where they're going. I want to thank you, Elaine, for joining with me today on Healing From Within and in helping to show and share our profound gratitude and divine love for all those people who have worked with us and taught us and who are out there also learning and who are listening to what is within their soul, heart, to find the renewed awareness of who they are as divine and beautiful beings of spirit and love. Yeah. Please go to www.ElaineGroman to purchase her book, The Angels and Me, and learn more of her work. In summarizing today's show, may I say that we are all surrounded by the divine loving guidance of helpers in spirit, and that our life purpose is a simple one: to connect to the force of good and peace and joy within, and to remember that we are eternally interconnected to all that is and will be. Therefore, we must begin to understand the reason for our gift of life, which is to refine and refill our essence with wisdom and kindness. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence, and please go to my website, www.cherylglick.com, to learn more about energy healing and also to listen to the finest speakers in the fields of health and spirituality and science share their stories of transformation.